And if you could just tell me your name, just so I can...
Sure. Amy Slagle.
And spell it?
S as in Sam, L-A-G-L-E.
Okay.
Perfect. And I'm still fogging up. I may have to do it without glasses. I won't be able to see you, but it looks like that even with this on, I'm fogging up.
Okay. Whatever you are most
comfortable with. I mean, that's going to look kind of weird, isn't it, if I'm all...
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay. I can do it like this, but be aware I'm not going to be able to really see anything that you're...
Are you comfortable?
Yeah, sure.
As comfortable as you can be. Well, thank you for taking the time to meet me and chat a little bit. Were there any concerns from Chairperson Delabrow?
No, I actually realized this morning that I didn't actually tell her that we were going to do this outside the clinic, but I think as long as we're not filming patients, that she's fine. When we've had other requests for this, she's, as long as we're not filming any patients, I think she's fine with it.
Yeah. Behind you, the clinic is kind of nondescript. If you want to put your glasses on for a second, I can kind of show you what it looks like.
Oh, yeah, just kind of a big brown blob back there. Yeah, there's a nice, if you want a picture, I don't know if you've had a chance, but there is, I believe, a sign right in front on the
I did a little a little dry run last night just to make sure I knew how to get here and I had time, so.
And our, all of our testing stuff is temporarily moved, so, I can give you pictures of what it looked like, but we're right in between. We're actually testing over at the transit garage right now because we're, I don't know if you saw the carton buildings in the back, but we just bought two pack vans that are kind of medically kitted out to house medical folks, and then we're building a pole shed over it with a two-lane drive-through.
Oh, wow.
Because we had to have something to offer protection, and because we don't have negative pressure in the clinic, we really don't have a facility to test people inside, because if you don't have negative pressure, you have to close the room down for an hour before you can clean it.
Oh, okay.
That's based on the air exchange rate for the HVAC.
Yep.
So we're trying to build something that is at least offer some warmth for people in between testing and then shelter from rain and snow and wind. So that's in the midst of being constructed. And so in the meantime, we're using the transit garage, which has huge bays and drive-through. So we're using that right now, but it's still cold.
Yeah, and that's not something that's easy to, I guess, predict, like, oh, I'm going to need negative pressure in my facility,
no,
you know?
It's one of those things that gets listed on budgets for construction and then in the end gets whacked, although I think with any future budget in any medical facility, it's going to stay on.
Sure. really quick, I think your mic fell.
Oh, did it? Okay.
I think it just got
slipped
down a little bit, yeah. There we go.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Oh, heck. I don't expect anything to go right in this calendar year, including zippers. How if I try this? Pull that. Yeah.
Even if you just want to, like, pull your jacket, together, just so.
I don't know who that is. better.
Yeah, and then there's a little like cord looping up, just kind of tuck it down.
Okay.
Perfect. There we go. All right. Gonna double check your audio. Can you just say test 1, 2, 3, test 1, 2, 3?
Testing 2, 3, testing 2, 3.
Perfect. All right. Okay, so we last spoke in July, and I'm wondering if you can tell me just a lay of the land of what things look like right now in terms of transmission of the virus. Let's just start with spread.
Okay. Well, we clearly have widespread community spread at this point. The numbers have gone up astronomically in a little bit of time. On September 2nd, we had our 19th case. On September 22nd, we had our 50th case. And on October 21st, we had our 234th case, which is a 12-fold increase in 7 weeks. So we have still not identified any particular super spreader event. None of these mini outbreaks were related to the casino or any work-related entity. It's happened in 1,000 tiny spots of where decisions were made to gather, to not wear masks, and it's just happening everywhere.
And when you say those numbers, is that tribal or is that in the county?
Those are the tribal numbers. I keep the county non-tribal separately. So those are my numbers from tribal members who reside in the county. And those numbers are always a little bit different than the states because of people changing their place of residence quickly, and sometimes their addresses and the test where they test is a post office box. So there's a little difference in the list I keep versus what the state has, but they're pretty similar.
Does the kind of rate of increase, does that pair alongside with the county, or did those happen separately?
Well, the county has such an extremely low number of non-natives that they're not comparable. In fact, we've had no case reports in quite some time from non-natives in the county. It does parallel, though, the county data around us very, very closely, if not the whole state. It's what the whole state has seen since Labor Day. Our numbers match those, and in some metrics exceed those.
With that, what does hospitalizations and deaths look like right now?
Well, officially, Menominee County has had no deaths. That doesn't mean we haven't lost tribal members. There are several tribal members who have passed away, one within the last few weeks, just didn't happen to reside on the reservation. So the tribe has lost members, and I want to be really clear about that. Hospitalizations are going up, and it's exactly the curve that you expect. The hospitalization rate goes up after the numbers start increasing for cases, and we've seen that in our local hospital. We hospitalize in Shawano. We've gone from having no COVID cases to having close to 80% of the hospitalized patients COVID positive in our critical care access hospital, and that includes the tribal clinic patients. There have been several that have been hospitalized in outside hospitals as well. So we've seen those numbers go up substantially over the last 2 weeks.
Based on capacity in this area, are you concerned about the ability to maintain hospital beds for potentially more patients?
Absolutely. Our hospital in Shawano is ThetaCare, and you would need to talk to them about their surge plans and such. But surge plans are in place. Right now we haven't done anything like move OB to a different area of the hospital, but we may be near those areas. there have been times when our hospital's been full and people have been transferred from too far away hospitals, and that it certainly exists. We have not transferred anyone to West Allis yet, to the field hospital, but that may be coming. So as a being part of the HERC for the Fox Valley, we also and also the Green Bay area, we're definitely concerned about hospital capacity. It's really hard to take that term hospital capacity and turn it into information that people understand about what does that really mean. So seen pictures of hospitals with gurneys in the hallways and hospital beds at the end of the hall. Those are examples of what happens. So it's very real. It's very real, and it's very raw, and it's very anguishing. And I wish there was a way to get more people to understand that.
If I'm correct, we're not there yet, but it sounds like you're very concerned that we might get there.
Very concerned. We're on the precipice.
We are in the end of October, or nearing the end of October, and now we have more time with the winter and being indoors. Do you see that as, do you see that curve going up?
Yes. I would only echo what Dr. Burke said yesterday in Madison. It is the small gatherings where the spread is occurring, and the holidays are the perfect setup for that, and not being able to gather outside is all contributing to this. So we need to push even harder to get the message out and somehow convince people that we just can't have a holiday season that we're used to. In our community, I've not felt that people are gathering out of defiance. I think it's more of a combination of COVID fatigue and somewhat of a complacency which developed because we were so good for so long. I think folks just don't believe their family or their friends or themselves that they couldn't have it. But it's that 40% of folks who are asymptomatic and don't know it, and they take it to their elders and they take it to their parents and they are spreading it to their children. And you know what we've been so concerned about is, you know, one of the strengths and beautiful things about the culture here is multi-generation families living together. So now what we're seeing is entire households being infected after one person brings it home, and that can be from a gathering. We're also seeing folks who are working in situations where there's no safety measures being taken and then bringing it home because they had to make a choice between work or not. So those things are hard to see, but we've got entire households that are infected and extended families who live in different households where infection is spread.
Quite often in the latest state briefings, media briefings, Evers and the DHS staff are asked, you know, why is your messaging of masking and hand washing and not gathering, why is it not getting through? Why do you think it's becoming challenging to keep the spread in now? You said it's the small gatherings.
I think the vast majority of problems that our contact tracing has revealed is the small gatherings. I visited my grandmother. I stopped by to see my aunt. My kids are staying with my mom while I'm working at an essential job, and I have to get them, and it's just a thousand different tiny occurrences like that. So again, it's not in our community, it's not a defiance issue. It's just not, it's more of a denial of this can't be affecting me or my family.
Going forward, if you are concerned with the curve increasing, do you think public health messaging needs to get better? Do you think resources for folks who, like you said, need childcare, need to get better? How do you look at flattening the curve that we now really see?
Well, we've started with some different messaging. Rather than just email messages, that many of the tribal legislators have done videos that have been distributed on social media and different platforms, speaking from their hearts, imploring their members to get serious again. Paradoxically, we have, as of Thursday, we're opening the tribal entities and governments and businesses, opening them back up to some extent. And on the surface, that sounds a bit crazy, but contact tracing revealed that perhaps because people are not working, they're gathering instead. So if we bring some people back to work in controlled circumstances with masking and social distancing and force, at least folks will be safe for that time. So it was a very hard decision to decide to open things back up a bit. Many different things to consider, and the tribe needs to probably talk about the specifics of the order, but part of it was because I think folks, when they're not at work or after months of this, are just tired of it, and we're doing a lot of gathering.
When it comes to, you know, tribal orders versus kind of what municipalities and counties on your periphery are doing, is there a clash? And is any part of it from, you know, things outside the tribe's, I guess, jurisdiction and ability to control?
Think of how to answer this. I don't think that the tribe is influenced by what's going on immediately around us. I think the tribe pays close attention to what the governor is doing for the pandemic, takes those orders into consideration, and when they feel things need to be more stringent or less stringent based on local circumstances, the incident command makes those decisions accordingly. We have to take into consideration the fact that most of the surrounding counties aren't enforcing any kind of safety measures at all. And that does have an impact on us because there is a substantial number of Menominee members who live in the contiguous counties and not on the reservation. So they're working in situations where no masking is required. They're working in restaurants where no one's masking or there's no occupancy limits. They're working in all kinds of stores or construction sites where there's no safety measures, and that is part of the problem, but we can't control that. So we follow closely what Governor Evers decides and does, and we act based on local circumstances, knowing we can't control anything about what goes on around us. The other thing is that we aren't able to seal off the borders here. We have state highways, and we have so many members who work both places. So doing things more draconian, like what the Navajo Nation did, are just not options for us based on the local circumstances.
Are you seeing a similar track in terms of young people have? Are you able to see kind of which demographics are impacted more based on testing and contact tracing?
Right. We're able to do those demographics through our electronic medical record. And up until a few weeks ago, we really didn't have a reason to look closely at those because there are so few cases. But we're now doing those every few weeks, and it mirrors exactly what's going on in the state and across the nation. The increase in cases by percentage and by percent positive is highest in the 20 to 39 age group. So we plan to actually run the demographic numbers again next week to see if now there's been a shift to the older population, which we would expect there to be some.
One of the reasons why I'm up here is to talk about the upcoming election. What are your thoughts based on the fact that in-person voting is going to happen and is something that some people do want to participate in?
Well, the incident commands looked at the safety plans for the voting, and we feel like it can be done in a safe manner with the usual things in place with masking and distancing. And I've heard recent news about not being able to enforce masking in a polling place, and that's brand new news. I don't know how that applies to here. There may be some sovereignty issues which would impact that, but I'm not sure. I can tell you that I don't think we'll have any problem with people being defiant about masking. I also think the low population numbers here will make it easier to keep people spread out and make voting safe. So there's a push to get the vote out, and I do think it can be done in a safe manner.
With that, do politics in, not necessarily in the tribe, but, you know, as you were saying, with the surrounding areas, do politics factor into all of this? You know, there's a huge kind of crossover between how some people are choosing to do certain recommendations or orders, and then there's how people receive it. Do you see politics and even the election playing into COVID-19 and how it impacts your area?
I don't think so. For our population, the voting demographic is hugely swayed in one direction, and it's important to remember that the Menominee have been here for thousands of years before these constitutional issues even became, invented or part of the structure here. So they have a history that precedes all of that, and so there are parts of their culture, traditions, and history that are way older than anything the United States government has imposed. So I have not seen any defiance in regard to constitutional rights over people's lives. That argument has not been here. People love their membership. They love their families. I've not seen the political issues be part of the problem here. That said, our rise in cases is similar to other places where there is political divide.
Have you personally kind of seen a push to get out the vote locally?
Yes. Yeah. As a medical doctor, I don't have a lot of time to be involved in that. And as a non-tribal member, I don't have a place to be widely involved, but I'm aware that there's been a lot of public service announcements and messaging to encourage people to vote, maybe more so than ever.
You mentioned that meeting yesterday was not ideal. Your days are pretty busy. Can you describe just a little bit of how your days have changed in the last few weeks?
Well, I can describe yesterday, or Thursday. I can describe Thursday. Because I'm the incident commander of the incident command at the clinic and the public health officer for the tribe, it's really important that I deliver a lot of information about local statistics and provide my recommendations on how to proceed and discuss both with incident commands and with the tribal legislature what's going on with the COVID virus and the pandemic. And at the same time, I was on call, so I was getting calls about hospitalized patients and a person in the ER and a patient with a blood sugar in the near 700 in the clinic that I needed to help with. So a lot of competing priorities, and just learning how to juggle that's been challenging.
I guess going forward, where do you see kind of us getting on the other side of this?
I'm hoping that there's a safe and effective vaccine available as soon as it's safe to release it, and we believe that it's effective and safe to give to people. I guess I'm using safe and effective redundantly there, but I'm just concerned that without that, we're not going to be able to stem this tide.
So until then, we're what are we needing to do?
We are needing to take seriously the public health recommendations, which have not changed and which remain quite simple. Don't gather, stay at home, call your relatives, don't visit, wear your mask in public. Try to insist on being safe when you're at work, even if your employer doesn't care. Stay at home as much as possible and stay 6 feet away from others. Those are the tools we have, and they're very simple. We need to find a way to get the message out again, to get people to take it seriously and do it. But we have the tools to stem this, and everyone from Dr. Fauci to the tribal clinic has been preaching those things. It's just a matter of trying to get people to finally take it to heart, or again take it to heart and do it again, because many lives are dependent on it.
I guess, Leslie, you were talking about contact tracing and testing. The state is seeing, Dr. Westergaard said that they're now in like a crisis contact tracing. You mentioned a smaller population. Are you able to maintain robust testing and contact tracing as this is ramping up in the area?
Our clinic seems to be meeting the request for tests. Next week, we're going to have the National Guard here on an every other week basis, alternating with Shawano County. So we will be pushing population-based testing at that time. Dr. Burks talked yesterday in Madison about the need to identify people without symptoms. So we're going to really encourage everybody who has means to get there to get tested by the National Guard. I think it would help a lot to try to identify more asymptomatic folks. We've got the means to test symptomatic people and their direct contacts, but the clinic doesn't have the means to conduct a widespread population-based testing platform. So the National Guard should help. In terms of contact tracing, we are probably at the edge of not being able to keep up. Our contact tracers are also juggling patient care responsibilities. Most of them are community nurses who are going out to deliver meds and check on elders. They're doing the contact tracing part of the time and that the other. We're also doing